Great. When Gord and I were working out a date and a time for me to get here, the plan was for my wife to be here with me. And then just as we were up in Terrace visiting our daughter, who just moved up there, we found out that my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, fell ill. And so we made plans for Sue to take off on Friday to fly to Manitoba to be with her mom, who's 91. And so that's why she's not here with me today. As Gord and I had planned out this date for me to speak, Sue was going to plan to be here with me. But that got changed just real recently. And so Sue sends her regrets and wishes she could have been here. But of course, family took that priority. And so Sue's in Manitoba with her mom. And so that's why my wife is not here with me this morning. And so, it's just kind of too bad because she would have loved to have joined us here in Vernon and been here this morning. So that's the update on that. Let me just pray for us this morning, and we're going to dive into Philemon, a little short book in your Bible that if you're like me, you've got to kind of flip through those because it's those one-pagers that you just kind of keep on flipping back and forth trying to find in your Bibles or your devices. And so we're going to dive into the book of Philemon and the first seven verses to see what we find from that short book of the Bible, what God has for us this morning, and it's a book about relationships, and that's what, the church is all about, and we're going to see what God has for us this morning, but let's just pray together and ask God to guide us and to guide me in particular to make sure that we're saying what God wants us to say here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. You are amazing. You are so incredibly amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your love for us is amazing. The fact that we can assemble here this morning and what we've just come through this time of pandemic and now to have the doors open again is just, again, your grace. And we're so thankful and we want to give you praise. And we want to make sure that our hearts are attuned to you. And we want to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And so now, as we come into your word, we want to ask you to speak. We need you, God. Without you, we don't have hope. And with you, we've got doors that are just so wide open, the possibilities that are so wide open. And so we look for you now, Lord, to speak and surprise us, God. I know that I have a plan this morning, and but my plan now gets submitted to you. And we say, God, you do what you're going to do, and we'll give you in advance now, by faith, the praise and the honor and the glory for what you want to do this day. And we'll now, in faith, have this sense of expectation that you're going to be glorified and you're going to do what you're going to do. And we say, God, this is great. And so we look forward to it. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Just as we begin, I just want to confess something to you right away. And the confession is very simple. And it's this. I love the church. I just love the church. And I've been a pastor for all of my adult life, more or less, you could say. And I've had different roles and responsibilities in some respects. In that I've pastored little, tiny, small churches in rural places. I've pastored big city churches with staff, and I've pastored a church that was barely a church in the sense that it was a church plant, so we didn't have hardly anybody, and so we had to kind of start from nothing and kind of see what God did, and it was amazing how God just blessed, and that was so exciting to see that. And I've pastored urban churches in the sense that there's cities, and God did what he was going to do, but I just want you to know I love the church. I just think it's just the most amazing thing on the face of the earth because it's God's. And so I just love the church. I just do. And so that's a confession I make to you off the top. And I also understand, because I was a regional director, an area minister, whatever you want to call them, area pastor, whatever you want to call it, I know that there's also problems. And so I'm not blind to that reality as well, that we have churches that struggle and churches that we just make a mess out of them as well, because we're human beings, and God's well aware of that as well. And so when I say I love the church, I'm also well aware that there are problems. And so as much as I'm an idealist and an optimist and all that kind of good stuff, I know that the church is less than perfect in so many different ways, but you tell me all the problems. I'm also going to tell you, hey, look at all this good stuff that's going on as well. And so I love the church, but I know the church isn't perfect. And so you can come and tell me all the things that are wrong, and I've seen the hurt and the pain and all the things that have gone wrong in churches, but I'm going to keep coming back to you and tell you, when you tell me all the problems, I'm going to keep coming to tell you, I just love the church. I do. With all the things that have gone wrong over 2,000 years of it being in existence, you can keep on coming and coming and coming with all the problems and everything else, and you're just not going to dampen my enthusiasm for how much I love the church. You can't. I've been at it for all of my adult life, and I've had my heart broken by the church more times than I care to be truthful about, but I keep coming back to the Word of God and seeing what God has done with this thing called the church, and man, I just love it. It is just the most profoundly beautiful thing on the face of the earth, this place called the church. And what it's made up of, basically, is relationships. It starts with one called Jesus, and then it comes down to you and I in connection with him on the face of the earth, this place called the church, and it is just profoundly, profoundly beautiful. And COVID, what COVID did for us was that it reminded us how incredibly important the church is. Because when we were told that we can't get together, what we found out was that we need to be together. We just missed each other. When we were told you can't assemble, you can't meet, you can't be part of each other's lives. And we just missed that and needed that. And it was designed by God for us to be together. And we got this book called Philemon where we're going to see this morning that Paul makes this request to this guy that he wants them to get back together is essentially what it's about. And so I want to read to you the first seven verses and we're going to pull it apart after we read it and just see what God's got for us this morning. But let's read these first seven verses out of Philemon chapter. Well, there's only one chapter. We'll call it chapter one and we'll read the first seven verses. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. If you're a note taker, I'll try to make things clear so you can follow along. And there's an outline here that I trust will be clear to you as we make our way through. And so point number one is this, the relationships. And that's found in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the relationships. And they're pretty clear here in your Bibles. And so just look at this. We have six relationships mentioned in the opening few verses. In the opening verse, we have Paul, Christ Jesus, and Timothy. And scholars agree that this letter is from Paul. And when Paul's letters are written or were written, not all scholars agree on all of the letters that were written by Paul. But we also have in this particular letter that there's not much debate about whether Paul wrote it or not. The scholars are all pretty clear that Paul did write Philemon. We're also informed here that his young protege, Timothy, is involved. And he supports what Paul is about to ask of Philemon. And so what happens here? Well, it says to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, and also to Apphia, and he says to there, and he's uh, to, he writes here, he says, or this is in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Now, why is it important that he says he identifies himself as a prisoner? Well, it's important because of what he's about to ask Philemon. And who does he say he's a prisoner of? He says he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Well, that is interesting to note. He's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Well, it's going to go to what he's about to say to Philemon in just a few little bit later in the letter. The other relationships that we have, so we've got in the very first verse, he's got Paul, Philemon, and Timothy. And then he goes on, and he also picks up, and he says to Apphia, and he says to his sister, and Archippus, a fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in their home. So who are these other people? Well, Philemon is married to Apphia, we know. And then the other person that's put in here is Archippus. And they figure that Archippus is either their son or the pastor of the home church where they're meeting as a small group of people that are part and parcel of this church family. So these are the people in this opening verse, six different relationships that are mentioned here in this opening couple of verses in this letter. Church, relationships. Now, what we want to have always when we're talking about church is that we want to have healthy relationships. I was visiting, just as I came here, I stopped in Prince George on my way here, and I stopped at my former youth pastor's house, Todd, who he was telling me, and he's working at a church in Prince George, and he was telling me about a situation where he had a trustee in his church who had just finished telling him that he was going to leave the church. And so my friend Todd says, why are you leaving the church? He says, because the people here aren't friendly. Now, this is the trustee in the church. And Todd says to him, what do you mean they're not friendly? And he says, well, he says, nobody hardly says hi to me, or I try to be friendly. And Todd says, well, you know that friendliness is a two-way street, right? I mean, you, if you're going to want friendliness, you also have to be friendly. And so the guy says, well, yeah. He says, what? Todd says, well, give me some examples of how people aren't friendly to you. He says, there's a guy in the foyer of the church, he says, and I've said hi to him at least twice, and one time I even asked him a question, and he didn't even respond to me. And so Todd says, oh, really? He says, well, what guy are you talking about? And so the guy tells him the name of the fellow that he's referred to. Todd says, well, hang on a second. He says, so you've talked to him twice. I said hi to him. He says, and I even asked him a question once. He says, so you asked him a question and you said hi to him and he didn't respond at all. He says, nope. He says, I didn't even get any response at all out of him. He says, you realize that the gentleman you're referring to is completely deaf. He says, oh no, I didn't know that. He says, were you looking at him face to face when you talked to him? He says, well, now that you mention it, no, I was kind of behind him and off to the side. He says, so you were off to the side and behind him and you said hi to him and he didn't say hi back. So you were talking to a deaf man and he didn't say hi to you. And now you're saying that he's not friendly. Well, when you put it that way, it kind of doesn't sound very good. About who? Well, about me. Yeah. So you want to leave the church because people aren't friendly and you're talking about a man who's deaf. He says, well, give me some other illustrations. Well, I don't really want to talk about it now. So Todd says to him, I tell you what, I'm going to put together a group of people. He says, we'll start a brand new small group out at my house. He says, and you and your wife can come. And he says, and I'll get some other people to come. And he said, well, if I do that, then he says, I'm probably not going to leave the church. Todd says, well, that's exactly it. He says, oh, I see what you're doing. He says, well, Todd says, what? He says, well, you're kind of making it so that I probably wouldn't leave the church. That would be exactly what I'm doing. Okay, I won't leave the church. I thought, you know, relationships are fascinating. It's just amazing how a fellow who was about to leave the church And just because you thought people weren't friendly, but when you start putting the picture together, there's a whole bigger picture to things. I thought relationships are so complicated, even in church or life or whatever, we just have to work at things a little bit. And so here's this youth pastor, not youth pastor anymore, he's an associate pastor, but he's working on things to try and make things better. And I thought, that's always the case in our life and in church, is that things aren't always black and white or simple, but when you start to dig down and start to put things together, we can make things work if we'll put some effort into it. But it does take effort. So every church has relationships. It's the nature of church. And most of us are aware that there's challenges often in relationships. But if we'll put the work into it, we can actually make things work. And so that's verses 1 and 2. So the blessing. There's relationships, first of all. The blessing. That's in verses 1, in chapter 1, verse 3. Well, what's the blessing? Look what Paul says. He says in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look what the source is of the blessing. You see what he says? Look how it's phrased. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants them, Paul does, he wants them, the people at the church where Philemon is and where they're meeting, he wants them to have grace and peace. But he wants them to understand where that's coming from. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds them where the source is. He wants to bless them, but he wants them to realize where the blessing's coming from. He's not just throwing words out in a generalized religious sort of format, but he says to you, I want you to have grace and peace, but I want you to know where the grace and peace is coming from. It's so clear that Paul says, the grace and peace isn't coming from me, Paul. I want to bless you with grace and peace, but I want you to understand where that grace and peace is coming from. If you got your Bibles and you got them, you can turn. Go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and see what Paul says there to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says this, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let me read that for you again. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. He's speaking of our salvation. Christ, that we might become saved, he was willing. He gave us this incredible gift. I can't save myself. And Paul identifies God's grace as a gift from him to us so that, in many of his different letters, he just repeated that over and over and over again. This peace aspect follows grace. And so the amazing thing is that once I enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ by grace, my truth is this. When I have a relationship with God that only comes to me by grace, then I have peace. That's an amazing thing. And there's chaos so often in our world as we've just come through a very chaotic time in our world, this pandemic. But in the midst of that, been at peace with my Creator because of the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. And nothing, no matter what this world wants to throw my way, will ever rob me of my peace with my God. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, Jesus Christ is the true source of grace and peace, Paul tells them. Then thirdly, there's the prayer. So we have the relationships, and we have the blessing, and then thirdly, in the outline, we have the prayer, and that's verses 4-6. And Paul writes, and he says this, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And then he says this, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Wow. prayer is a relational activity. It's kind of obvious, but let's just look at that verse 4 again. He says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Paul identifies his relationship with God and his relationship with Philemon in this prayer. I think it's dangerous, but it's probably not unusual for prayer to slide into a religious mentality where I do my duty. It's my religious activity or my religious, I want to get my prayers in, if you will, or there's different ways of phrasing it, but it can become religious rather than relational. And I want to just caution us that as Christians, we want to make sure that our time with our Heavenly Father, our time with our Savior Jesus, does not slide into it being a religious activity, but that we maintain it being relational, that we are meeting with that one who is our Father. And it is precious. We have a relationship with him. He wants us to know him in a deepening personal way, that it grows, that I can know him better and more intimately on an ongoing basis. That the way in which I used to know him is one thing, but now I can know him better than what I used to know him. And he desires that for me. He's got things that I have yet to know about him that he's willing to reveal to me if I'm willing to spend the time with him. That's a marvelous thing about my Heavenly Father, that there's things about him that I do not yet know that he's willing to reveal to me if I'm willing to spend the time with him. I find that amazing. That there are things that I do not yet know about my Father that he's just waiting to show me and to tell me to say, Russ, I've got things yet to show you about me. If you'll take the time to spend with me. I don't know about you, but I find that amazingly exciting to think that my Father wants me to know him better and he's willing to reveal more things about himself to me if I'll take the time to spend with him. And I just can't imagine how that just continues to get better and better and better. Why would I not want that more? Why would I not want a deeper walk with him? Why would I simply say, oh, well, I already got enough of the Bible. I already got enough of him. I don't need any more of him. Are you kidding me? There's more of him that I get to know? That's like great news. And so Paul clearly shares that he thanks God for Philemon in his conversation with God. And he thanks God and says, this is great. I'm so glad that I know you, Philemon. And I, as a church family, we just ought to continue to thank God for each other. And this is a healthy thing for us to do as a church family. Prayer is an exercise of relational concern for each other. Paul says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all of his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that Paul, I mean, how many relationships did Paul have? I have no idea. I don't know what the number is. But here Paul is writing to Philemon, and he says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. He's not just writing words. This is a truth. This is great things that Paul is writing to this guy named Philemon. He says, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 6, he says, and I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. So he's telling Philemon what he's praying for him. So I have a friend who emails me every week with one simple question. This happens every Monday. I get it in my inbox. And the simple question is this: how can I pray for you this week? That's all. It's a one-line email. It's happened for years. And I just think, wow, how blessed am I that this man that I've known for years emails me every Monday morning, and I get it in my inbox, and he simply says to me, how can I pray for you this week? And I simply email him back with my requests. And I know that he's not just winging it, like just to be a nice guy, but I know that he is then going to our Father in prayer on my behalf with the requests that I have sent to him. That is such a rich blessing in my life, knowing that I've got this brother who is now engaging on my behalf for whatever it is that I share with him, my needs, my concerns, my desires, the things that I know that I need to have him praying for me. That's a rich blessing. How are you and I praying for each other as part of the family of God? As Philemon, as Paul wrote to Philemon and said to him very clearly, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love and I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. Paul was telling Philemon how he was praying for him. How are you praying for each other here at this church? Because we need one another. We need one another. Prayer is an exercise in our spiritual growth. Now, if you're again taking notes, write this down. You show me a follower of Jesus who is praying, and I'll show you a follower of Jesus who is growing. Let me say that to you again. You show me a follower of Jesus who is praying, and I'll show you a follower of Jesus who is growing. Let me flip that upside down. You show me a follower of Jesus who doesn't pray, and I'll show you a follower of Jesus who is challenged in their spiritual growth. Let me repeat those two statements again. You show me a follower of Jesus who is praying, and I'll show you a follower of Jesus who is growing. You show me a follower of Jesus who doesn't pray, and I'll show you a follower of Jesus who is challenged in their spiritual growth. Look what Paul says in verses 5 and 6. He says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we have, we share for the sake of Christ. I think this just makes sense. Paul states that Philemon's sharing of his faith deepens his appreciation for his relationship with Christ. I just think that from a spiritual concern for the broader community that we live in is just directly related to our prayers. When we look at the community in which we live, it's just going to be part and parcel of how we pray. And Paul just articulates that in that statement. And he looks and he just shares so clearly that I'm just going to pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. And then he looks out and looks and says, your understanding of the community that you live in is going to be a concern from a prayer standpoint. We're going to want to share our faith as we look at the community in which we live. It's going to come through our prayers. It's convicting for me. I'm not a natural evangelist, but how much am I praying for those unsaved friends of mine? The depth of my walk with God is connected to these truths. The deeper I walk with him, the more aware I am of the blessings of my relationship that will lead me to wanting to share my faith with those around me. Now let's move to the last part, verse 7. It's a verse that I've spent time over the last while in my own journey meditating on and just thinking through, and that's the testimony of Philemon in verse 7. It is just so powerful. Verse 7 says this. Paul says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." Philemon's impact upon Paul is based out of relationship. Paul knew Philemon. He was about to ask him for something that was quite significant. He wanted to see a broken relationship restored from a spiritual standpoint as well as a personal standpoint. And Paul informs Philemon that Philemon had been a source of joy to him personally. And he said, "You've been a blessing to me, Philemon." How often do we share that kind of truth with those closest to us? How often have we looked around at each other and said, "You know what? You've blessed me." Because that's what Paul's saying to Philemon. "You, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." What a great testimony Philemon was living out. And Paul brings it out to the scriptures. When people think of you, do they think of you as a source of blessing? Philemon had lived his life, and as Paul looked at it, he looked at Philemon and said, "Philemon, what you are doing is you walk through life, you are leaving behind a trail of blessing." That's what he says in verse 7. He's essentially saying, your life leaves behind a trail of refreshment. You have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Philemon, wherever you go, when you exit, you leave behind refreshment. You go into a house, and when you walk out, all that's left behind is refreshment. What a great thing. What a great thing. Picture a church full of people named Philemons. People who just are filled with blessing and refreshment. How does this happen? Well, I believe one of the primary ways it happens is through a deepened, rich prayer life. People who spend time with God in prayer come out of that time and they walk and leave a trail of refreshment. Some time ago, I had the opportunity to go back to the church that I had pastored in Saskatoon. And there's a couple there named Benno and Clara, and they're an elderly couple. And Benno is in his 80s, and Benno was just a wonderful, godly man. And he was just one of those guys who was always positive. Benno, I never heard Benno say a negative word ever when I was his pastor. And so when I'd left the church and gone back again, I was just looking to see if I'd see Benno at all and stuff, because he was just that kind of guy. And so I always look forward to seeing Benno. But I remember one time when I was pastoring there, and it was a Sunday morning, and the band, you know, we had like full all the bells and whistles and stuff, and it was on a Sunday morning when the band was just a little bit too loud. And so I was walking through the foyer and stuff, and I happened to see Benno, and I thought I was just going to, you know, apologize, because I said, "Hey, Benno," I said, "the music was a little loud this morning, eh?" And because I wanted to kind of just, you know, kind of calm him down a bit. And Benno just grabbed a hold of my hand. He was one of those guys who always shook hands with two hands. And he grabbed a hold of both my hands, and he said, "Pastor Russ, I want you to know, don't you ever change a thing about the music in this church." Benno's grandchildren came to our church. Benno, like I said, was in his 80s. And he said to me, "My grandchildren love the music in this church." And I said, "Oh?" And he said, "In fact, that's one of the reasons why my grandchildren come to this church, Pastor Russ, is because they love the music here. Don't you ever change a thing about the music in this church." He says, I can take it or leave it lots of Sundays. But I can go home. And I can listen to hymns all I want at home. He said, "But because my grandchildren love the music here, don't you change a thing about the music." So I just smiled and I thought, Benno kind of gets it. But that was his way of always just being an encouragement. He left a trail of blessing everywhere he went. Benno was a Philemon. And so then later that day, as I was visiting on the Sunday that I came back and I was visiting, I went looking for Benno and stuff, and I saw him finally and saw him in the foyer and stuff. I went over and I saw him and I said, Benno, I said, I was just looking forward to seeing you and stuff. And he grabbed a hold of my hand as he did with both hands like he generally did, and he said, oh, Pastor Russ, he said, I just miss you so much. And I said, Benno, I said, you have no idea how much I miss you, just being able to see you and shake your hand. And we just talked for a few minutes, and he said, I got to find Claire, he says, because Claire's going to want to see you too. And so he went shuffling off, and I waited because I didn't want to miss seeing Claire as well. And so I came back, and Claire grabbed my hands, and she grabbed both of my hands, and she just shared, she looked at me, and she said, Pastor Russ, Benno, he just talks about you all the time. And so I just looked at them, and I just grabbed hold of both her hands, and I shook both of them, and I said, Clara, I said, you too are just a blessing and have always been a blessing. And we just shared together and stuff. And I just thought about them as being Philemons to my life. And I thought, you know, when I get to be their age, which isn't all that far away in some respects, but I thought, I want to leave a blessing wherever I go. Because when you look at that and you think, who are the people that I want to see? Well, I thought I wanted to see Benno and Clara. When I returned to the church, they were just people I sought out, and I wanted to make sure I did not miss seeing them. Why? Because what was I going to hear when I saw them? I was going to hear blessing. I knew it because they're such encouragers. And so when I look at that, and I saw that those words in verse 7 again, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people, I thought, those are words that I want to be a testimony about my life. And I thought, a church full of Philemons, what a great testimony that would be. People walk through those doors, whether they've been here on a regular basis or whether they're coming through for the very first time, and they may not even know who a Philemon is, but they experience that in their life, my belief would be they would think they may not even be able to articulate why they're going to want to come back. They may not even be able to put it into words, but there's just something about it. They say, you know, I'd like to go back to that place again. Because they were blessed, they were encouraged, they were lifted up, because they had a Philemon kind of experience. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for a guy like Philemon, who was about to be asked by Paul in just a little bit later in this book to be challenged to have a restoration moment. But Paul was already laying the groundwork because of the good heart that Philemon had. And so, Lord, as we think through our own experiences in this world, in this walk with you, these relationships that we have, may we leave here today wanting to deepen our relationship with you, Lord, because that's the source of having a Philemon heart. May we want to be the kind of people that refresh the hearts of the saints and others because of our rich relationship with you, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory because you are truly the only one who is worthy. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.